Amen. Well, good morning. Oh, man, it's a good day to be able to study the Word together. If you have your Bible, Philippians chapter 3, we are studying the New Testament book of Philippians, and every week we're learning new truths about the Lord and our walk with Him. So Philippians chapter 3, and this morning we are going to begin in verse number 12. Now, a few weeks ago, we talked about how that for the Christian, success is defined as finding and following the will of God. And here in this passage, the will of God is defined as our spiritual maturity, of us coming to know Jesus, the power of Christ, His resurrection power, the fellowship and communion that we can have with Christ through suffering, the death of Christ, of being made more and more like Jesus within our life. That is God's plan. That is God's will for you and for me. And here in this passage, Paul compares the Christian life to running a race. That it's a race towards Christ. It's a race towards spiritual maturity within our life. And Paul says all of us who are believers are in this race, running towards Christ. And so in verse 12, Paul says, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me." Here's the principle. We grow in spiritual maturity by sensing our need. Now, Paul says, what I want within my life is spiritual maturity, but I have not yet attained the maturity that I desire. And that is why I am pressing on towards the maturity that God has saved me to have. Paul was not satisfied with where he was. Now, if anyone had the right to claim that they had it all together, it was the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was the first missionary to take the gospel to the Gentiles and throughout the world. The Apostle Paul endured prison and beatings and shipwreck and cold and hunger and everything you can imagine for the sake of Christ and for the sake of the gospel. He wrote much of our New Testament. If anyone had the right to say that they had it all together, it was the Apostle Paul. But Paul says, listen, I have not arrived. I still have a lot of growing to do. I still want to know Jesus more than I already do. And if Paul needed to grow, then you and I need to grow as well. Now, there are some who teach what is called sinless perfectionism. It's the idea that you and I can attain this place within this life of sinlessness. But Paul makes it very clear in this passage that that's not a thing. If you expect perfection from yourself in your pride, you will be miserable because you will never attain what it is you expect. If you expect perfection from other people, then in your pride, they will also be miserable. Now, there are some Christians who try to give the impression that they have everything together, that they don't have any problems, that their marriage is perfect, that their children are perfect, that they don't struggle with any doubts and they don't struggle with temptation and they just have everything together. That is the image that they want to present, but that is not the image of the gospel. The gospel is not an image of perfect people. It is an image of people who have been forgiven by the grace of God. It is a picture of what God can do within our life, even in our failure, even in our sin. Now, this image of perfection is an image that Paul worked very hard to project before he came to know Christ and before he knew the gospel. He said, I kept all of the law. I kept all of the external commandments that God had given. And he tried to present this image of sinlessness, this image of perfection. But that is not the image that Paul paints after he met Christ and after he heard the gospel. It is the image then is the image of God's grace saving us as sinners through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I heard about a pastor who was preaching on sin one Sunday, and it was just a really simple, straightforward message from the Bible. And so after the service, there's a woman that came up to him, and she said, Pastor, that was a great sermon, but I want you to know that I myself have not sinned for 30 years. Well, the pastor was kind of quick on his feet, and he said, well, congratulations, 3 more years, and you'll have the record, you know. Jesus Christ is the only one who has not sinned. There is only one perfect person who has ever lived, and you are not him. And I am not him. We have to recognize our sinfulness and our absolute dependence upon the grace of God and the righteousness of Christ and the love of God that we find within Christ. And as soon as we think that we have arrived spiritually, that's when we stop growing. When we think we don't have any more to go, that's when we stop moving forward. We become complacent, and complacency is the great enemy of spiritual growth and maturity. Our growth in the future is determined by our dissatisfaction in the present. We cannot grow until we humbly admit our sin before God, our deficiencies, our weakness, our insufficiency before God, rather than holding us back, that actually propels us towards growth as we recognize that we need God's grace. We need God's power. We need Christ within our life, and we are absolutely dependent upon him. And so Paul says, I press on. I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Paul says, I press on because I want to be everything that Jesus Christ saved me to be. See, God didn't just save you so that you can go to heaven. That's true, but he saved you for so much more. He saved you so that you can know and enjoy him, so that you can be sanctified and become more like Jesus. He saved you not so that you could stay the same, but so that he could transform you to be in the image of his Son. And as Christians, we ought to always desire to become more and more and more of what we can become in Christ. Paul had a desire and a sense of his need to grow closer to Jesus. Verse 13. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Here's the principle. We grow in our spiritual maturity by letting go of the past. See, the only way that we can really grow forward in the future is for us to let go of the past. Now, the past can create pride within our life. We revel in past accomplishments and past circumstances, and we say, well, if only my circumstances were the same as they used to be, then I could really walk with God. Then I could really grow in my relationship with God. Or we revel in past accomplishments, and we go, wow, look at the things that I have done within my life. And it always leads to pride. You think about in the Old Testament, after God delivered the nation of Israel out of the land of Egypt, and they're in the wilderness, and God provides manna for them to eat. And every morning they wake up and they can collect this manna, and it provides their sustenance for that time. But after a while, they get tired of eating manna. You know what I mean? They got manna hamburgers and manna burritos and manna tacos. And they're like, we're tired of this manna. And so they start complaining. And they start saying, well, man, we remember the good old days back in Egypt where we had melons and we had onions and we had garlic. Maybe we can't relate to that, but maybe we would say, I remember the good old days when we had the best fish tacos down by the beach, you know, and we had, where's the tri-tip? I mean, what's a man got to do to get some barbecue out here in the wilderness, you know? And they start complaining and they start looking back to the past. Well, there's several problems with that. First, the good old days were not nearly as good as they remembered them. They were in bondage and slavery in Egypt. They were oppressed within Egypt. And sometimes within our life, we have a tendency to over-glamorize the past. We kind of haloize the past, you might say. And we make an idol of the past. And we look to the past rather than looking to Christ. We look to what God has done in the past instead of what he's doing now and what he is going to do in the future. And we worship the past. If you are constantly focusing on the good old days of God's past blessings, then you're going to miss the good old days of God's present blessings. And when we focus excessively on the past, then it keeps us from trusting and following Christ in the present. And so Paul is saying, listen, stop focusing on what God used to do and start focusing on what God is doing and what God will do and wants to do within your life. But you know, the past not only can create pride, but often the past can create guilt. We become plagued by the guilt of our past. We replay our failures within our mind over and over and over again until we become paralyzed with a sense of guilt, and we become in bondage to the sins of our past. Listen, Jesus has already paid for the sins of your past. When Jesus died on the cross, he says, "It is finished." They have been paid in full. You don't have to hold on to them when God has taken them and thrown them as far as the east is from the west, and he remembers them no more. God is in the business of forgiving sins and saving sinners. And if you come to Jesus, you have to let go of your past. Paul says, I looked at my past and I considered it all lost for the excellency of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to let go of it. And if God has forgiven your sin, then stop bringing it up. Not only can the past create pride and guilt, but also the past often can create bitterness. We have hurts within our past. We've been wronged within our past. And if we don't let those things go, if we hold on to them, they rob us of the joy of the present. Now, all of these things in our past, they have one thing in common. They can keep us, whether it be pride or it be guilt or it be bitterness, all of these things in our past can keep us from moving forward and being what God wants us to be today and doing what God wants us to do in the future. God doesn't want you and I to wallow in our past or to revel in our past. What he wants is for you to grow in the present. That is to be the focus. And Paul says, this is what I do. I forget what is behind me and I press on and forward for the things that God has in front of me. C.S. Lewis said this. He said, it is simply no good trying to keep any thrill. Let the thrill go, and you will find you are living in a world of new thrills all the time. But if you decide to make thrills your regular diet and try to prolong them artificially, they will all get weaker and weaker, and you will be a bored, disillusioned old man for the rest of your life. It is because so few people understand this that you find many middle-aged men and women meandering about their lost youth at the very age when new horizons ought to be appearing and new doors open all around them. Living in the past robs us of the joy of the present. And here's the thing about the past that we have to understand. You can't change the past. And when we are focused on the past, then we are focusing our mind and our heart on what we cannot change. Focusing on the past is a waste of our energy. But here's the thing about the future. You can change it. It is focusing your heart and your mind on what you can change. The future brings meaning and purpose to the present because it allows you to follow God in the present and expect what God is going to do if you are willing to follow and trust Him. Verse 13, he says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead." Here's the principle. We grow in spiritual maturity by hungering for progress. Paul was hungry to grow. You know, a carefree life is a boring life without any significance. Paul was not carefree. He was hungry. If you are hungry for food, then you seek out food. If you are thirsty for water, then you seek out water. And if you are hungry and thirsty for God, then He becomes what you are seeking out within your life. And Paul says, "I have a hunger for Christ. I have a desire to grow. I want to press on. I want to move forward for what God wants to do within my life." Now, if you want to grow stronger physically, then you focus on physical exercise. You focus on eating right and the things that help you to grow stronger. If you want to grow intellectually, then you focus on learning and reading and studying and so forth. In other words, you focus in the area in which you want to grow. And if you want to grow spiritually, it's not rocket science. It's very simple. You have to focus on the growth that you want within your life. Paul says, "One thing I do." He was focused on Jesus and allowing Jesus to work in his life. Now, I enjoy playing golf. I don't know if other people enjoy me playing golf, but I enjoy playing golf. But the one problem with me playing golf is I'm very dangerous. I'm not dangerous to myself. I'm certainly not dangerous to anyone in front of me. But if you're way off in the trees, watch out. It's a dangerous place to be. But you know what the difference is between an amateur and a professional? The difference is an amateur pursues the sport in spurts, but a professional golfer makes it his life's work. And sometimes we become like amateur Christians where we pursue God in spurts. We read our Bible sporadically. We pray sporadically. We repent of our sin sporadically. We witness sporadically when it ought to be our life's work. Paul says the way that I am growing spiritually is one thing. I focus in on what God is doing and what God wants to do. Now, Paul, the amazing thing about Paul is that Paul was as sold out for Jesus after he got saved as he was for the devil before he got saved. Isn't that an amazing concept? I mean, we put all of our energy into sin before we come to Christ, but then we come to Christ and we give it a little bit of energy, right? I mean, before, you know, we would spend all our money for sin, and then we come to Christ, and then we're like, oh, giving, I don't know, grumble and gripe and so forth. Before, we would spend all of our time for sin. We'd stay out all night in order to sin or to do things that we ought not to do. But then we come to Christ and the service or the sermon goes 5 minutes over. And, oh, it's taking so long. What's for lunch? What is going on here? Before, we may have filled our car up with people to sin. But now we just come to church alone. Wouldn't it be great if we were as sold out for Jesus as we used to be for sin? Verse 14. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This is an image of a race, of running towards maturity. It's the image of a runner whose singular aim is to finish the race and to win the prize. And that is the kind of focus that we are to have when it comes to our spiritual growth. No athlete wins by trying to do everything. He or she wins by being focused on the task that they are trying to excel in. And those who really grow spiritually, who experience the reviving power of the Holy Spirit within their life, and those who grow to know Christ and to be like Christ, are those who keep their eyes on the goal of Christ and don't let anything distract them from what God is doing within their life. Verse 15, the Apostle Paul says, therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us be of the same mind. Now, Paul says, you may not understand, you may not agree with all of these things, but I'm trusting that God's going to reveal them to you, that God's going to show you these things within your life. Paul had a confidence, not in them, but he had a confidence that God was going to finish the work that he had started within them. And we need to trust that God is working in others to bring about spiritual maturity within their life. We see their weaknesses, we see their sin, we see what's wrong with them, but we have to trust that God is always at work. If they are a believer, if they know Christ, that God is working his work of sanctification within their life to make them and shape them to be more like Jesus. We have to stop looking at one another as we are and start looking at one another as we will be after God is finished his work in us. You see, whatever degree of immaturity we have now in heaven, it won't exist. And Paul is recognizing that God is at work within them. But here's the principle I want us to see. We grow in spiritual maturity by constantly learning. Paul was intentional about his spiritual growth. And in verses 15 and 16, he says, you be intentional as well. You be focused as well. You have this same mind. You have this same heart. You have this same hunger and desire to grow and to be more like Christ within your life. Now, if you want to grow in your finances, You don't just sit around and say, well, I hope someday I'll be rich. If you do that, then you'll never make it, right? No, you say, what do I have to do now in order to retire someday? What do I have to do now in order to reach these goals or these milestones? And then you create a roadmap in order to get there. Now, we don't all do that, right? But at least we understand that's how it works, even though we might not do it. Do you know that that's the same way that it works spiritually as well? Just like no one accidentally gets rich, no one accidentally becomes spiritually mature, it has to be intentional. There has to be a plan to get there, to say, I'm going to repent of sin when the Holy Spirit convicts me and the Word of God reveals to me the truth that is going on. Then I'm going to repent of my sin. I'm going to be in the Word. I'm going to be in prayer. I'm going to be in church. I'm going to be serving the Lord. I'm going to be a witness for Christ. What you do is you make the decision that I am going to do those things that God has said He uses in my life to produce Christ-likeness within me and to draw me closer to Jesus. And the only way to grow is to be constantly learning. If you want to grow in your marriage, then you have to learn. You have to find out from other couples that have a healthy and a godly marriage, say, how do you do it? You have to look at the Word of God and say, what does God say a marriage is supposed to look like? If you want to grow as a parent, then you've got to learn. You've got to talk to other parents, and you've got to get ideas and figure out how you can apply the truth. You've got to read the Bible. What does the Bible say about parenting? The book of Proverbs is the book is about a father giving advice to his son. It's all about parenting, and you look at it and you say, well, how do I grow in these areas and these things within my life? If you want to grow in your occupation, you've got to learn. You've got to talk to someone who's accomplished what you want to accomplish and done what you want to do and gotten to where you want to get. And you pick their brain and you talk to them and you learn from them. And it's the same way spiritually. If you want to grow spiritually, you've got to be constantly learning. We have to be lifelong learners of Christ. Now, Apostle Paul says in verse 16, he says, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same. In other words, whatever degree of spiritual maturity that you have achieved, don't go backward. Go forward. Now, I hope that 5 years from now that I have grown spiritually. I hope 5 years from now all of us have grown spiritually, individually, corporately, as a church, that we have a greater love for Jesus, a greater love for each other, a greater love for the lost, that they would come to Christ, and a compassion for those who are hurting. I hope that 5 years from now, I know the Bible more than I know it now. I hope that I'm more constant in prayer. I hope that I give a greater percentage of my money to the Lord. I hope that I'm more kind and less critical, that I'm more faithful in witnessing, that I'm more content in Christ. Paul says, keep learning, keep growing, keep moving forward in your walk with Christ. But let's go back. And look at what he says in verses 10 and 11. He says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. We looked more in depth in these scriptures last week, but here's the principle. We grow in spiritual maturity by focusing on Jesus. The Apostle Paul says in verse 14, I press toward the goal for the prize of upward call of God in Christ Jesus. What is the goal? The goal is Jesus. The goal is Christ-likeness within our life. Let me ask you, what is the goal of your life? Is your goal to be rich? Is your goal to be well-liked? Is your goal to be comfortable? What is your goal within life? The Apostle Paul says the goal is to be like Christ, to experience his character, his power, his humility, his fellowship within your life. That's been my observation. That most of the time when people get away from God, they don't get away from God by running from God in rebellion. Most of the time, they drift from God in neglect. They just don't live intentionally. Life happens. We get distracted. We've got to go here. We've got to go there. We've got this thing that we've got to take care of. And over time, there's no purpose. There's no focus. It's just kind of a haphazardly going through life, and we drift away from Christ. And Paul says the way that you win a race is not by looking behind you. It's not by looking to the side. It's by keeping your mind and your life focused and finishing well. It takes determination. It takes focus. It takes focusing upon the Lord Jesus. Now, if you don't know where you're going, I can promise you no one else does. It's important in life for us to set goals at times. Now, when we set goals, we ought to always do what it says in James, if the Lord wills, right? Then I'll do this, because God's goals and plans are often very different than ours. And so, but the Bible talks about preparing and planning and so forth within our life. And so I hope that you have some goals within your life, that you have some biblical goals, you have some financial goals and career goals and family goals of what God, you want to see God do within your life. How are you going to glorify God in different areas of your life? But the most important goal of your life is the goal of knowing Christ more and more. That has to be preeminent. If that's not first, then the other goals are all misguided. They're for selfish ambition and conceit. They're not for the glory of God. They're not for the enjoyment of God. They're not for the fellowship with Christ. And you will not experience the power of the resurrection of Christ if you are living for yourself. That's why he says that I might be conformed to his death, so that as I die, Christ may live in me. So that it's not I who live, but it is Christ who lives. Paul is saying, my lungs are burning, my legs are aching as I'm running this race, but I want to know Jesus more. I want to become more and more like Jesus. Paul was focused. Let me ask you, are you focused on Jesus? Is the singular aim of your life to know Christ and become more like Christ within your life? The Apostle Paul was facing trial. History and tradition tells us that eventually he was let go. He went on another missionary journey. Many believe that he went to the west, to Spain, where he had desired to go to preach the gospel. But eventually he was imprisoned again. You kind of see a pattern in Paul's life, don't you? Everywhere Paul went, there was either a riot or a revival, sometimes both. I heard an Anglican bishop say, everywhere Paul went, there was either a riot or a revival. Everywhere I go, there's just tea. Paul was focused on Christ. He was focused on the gospel. He said, everything else is a distraction. Everything else is for the purpose of knowing Christ and becoming more like Christ. That was the focus of his life, but eventually he gave his life in the cause of Christ. Maybe after he was put to death, someone said, hey, have you heard about what happened to Paul? Paul hit the dust. No, Paul hit the tape. Paul finished the race. He was in full stride. He was without regret. He was without retreat. He was without reserve. And that's the way that I want to finish the race. That is the way that I want to live, to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, to be conformed to his death, because he is the goal of the upward prize of God. Let's bow together for a word of prayer. You be praying, I pray here in a moment. This is a time where we let God do in us what he wants to do. And so I want to encourage you, if you've never put your faith in Christ, that you would do that today. You can come forward. There'll be people here at the front. We'd love to pray with you, talk to you about what that means, about that decision. But right where you are, you can say, God, I want Jesus in my life. I want to know Jesus. I want my sins forgiven. I want the righteousness of Christ. I have sinned, but Christ died for sinners. He died for my sin, for me. And the Bible says if you will trust in Christ, you can be saved. What does it mean to be saved? It means so much, but first and foremost, it means being saved from a life without God, an eternity without God. You can come to Christ, and through Christ, you can have a relationship with God. Do that. Don't put it off. Don't look behind you. Look to Jesus and be saved. Maybe this morning we have put our trust in Christ. Maybe we've run away from God in rebellion and we need to repent and come back, experience the joy of our salvation again. But most likely, there's a whole lot more of us that have simply drifted from God in neglect. Other things to do became more important. Other priorities, other passions, other desires. So that we could not say, one thing I do is to run towards Jesus, is to allow God to do what he wants to do. Maybe you're just doing what you want to do. And you need to come and say, God, do what you want. I want to know Christ. I want to experience him. I want to grow to become more like him within my life. This is a time for us to pray, time for us to focus. You can pray here at these steps. You can pray where you are. Just come before the Lord. He's calling to you. He's inviting you to fellowship with him. See, repentance is an invitation of relationship. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. God, we are amazed by who you are. Lord, when we see your love, we're amazed. When we see your grace, we are amazed. When we see your righteousness, we're amazed and we hunger and thirst for your righteousness, Lord, and we pray that we will be satisfied. Father, I pray that we would seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness. Lord, I pray that you would put within all of us, through the power of your Holy Spirit, a holy desire to know Jesus and to live for Jesus. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here that doesn't know Jesus, that today, as this sermon has been proclaimed, as your word, as the gospel has been shared, I pray that they either would have come to faith in Christ, or Lord, that even now, as we close our service, that they would come to faith in Christ. Lord, work in our lives. We see our need. We see our sin. We need you. God, we are so insufficient, and you are so sufficient. I pray, Lord, that you would show us that. In Christ's name, we pray, amen.